Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High that we're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promise times of refreshing are upon us. The time to rediscover the ancient truths. The time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten, my truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, has he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things. Precious truths. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed. When indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to the light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah!
Yes, well, my brothers and sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed, we are back again for another episode, another very, very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Edim Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, indeed so very thankful again to the Most High for this opportunity, this very precious, precious opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words, which the Most High has granted us for the healing of our people. But the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, directly as he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things, even remind you concerning things. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert silence, and if they could, to destroy. You know, my brothers and sisters, I have to say this. If man really understood his purpose, if he really truly understood his purpose in the earth, he would realize that all the manner of diverse injustice, disagreements, contentions, varying misopinions that we see in this earth are all, by and large, the result of man having forgotten his very purpose for being. All the result, my brothers and sisters, of men listening to men having forgotten was to be a remembrance, a vessel for the preservation of the knowledge of what indeed is the oneness of divine conscience in this earth. I repeat, my brothers and sisters, the very purpose of man was always for the remembrance of divine order and divine conscience in the earth. And amazingly enough, the truth of the matter is that many have believed that the Most High has forgotten what he has promised. Many have believed the Most High has even forgotten what is justice. Even that the Most High has forgotten that he has ever even had a requirement for mankind and a purpose for mankind. Because by and large, men have not been able to agree in their forgetfulness, in the sin of their forgetfulness, what always was human purpose. You know, if you look at the book of Genesis, when the scriptures say such thing as man, Most High created man of the dust of the earth. Wow. Yeah, man was not supposed to remain the conscience of mere dust, my brothers and sisters. The scripture says he breathed in a man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. My brothers and sisters, shall man continue to live according to his purpose, transcending all disobedience, if each man forgets, does not remember, ignores, and denies the truth that never should have been forgotten? Genesis 2:7. Most High formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. My brothers and sisters, the principle of life transcends all contradiction. The principle of life, my brothers and sisters, demands a remembrance of a principle. I want you to understand something. The very word where it says he gave him the breath of life relates to constancy, something that is not variant, something that is not changed or perverted after the differences of human opinion. The very word for breath there in this case is neshama. And it relates, my brothers and sisters, well, I want you to think about this. One of the root words of that word, neshama, there's a few words, my brothers and sisters, in Hebrew that should be well addressed by the people. In that word, neshama, is the word nacham, the word shem, the word shema, the word amah. Nacham relates the idea where we see it, Isaiah 40, where we hear a voice crying in the wilderness, few willing to hear or understand. Then we ask the question, why is a prophet not recognized in his own city, in his own country, especially when he comes to raise the conscience of men, oftentimes quite self-satisfied, at a fallen level of conscience, at which they stand, for which the prophet is sent to reprove. But that word where it says, comfort ye, O my people, should the people be at one? How should they be at peace? How should they be true, constantly unto the will of one who does not change, if they are constantly forgetful against the sin of what the Most High said in advance? There's a word from the beginning, never to be forgotten. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. It says, comfort ye, O my people. It means that man is to seek beyond himself. If every man feels like he is just according to his own opinions, truth of the matter is he has no law, no order, no peace, no covenant, not man to man, a man with his creator at all. The words that comfort ye, O my people, have to do with each man being willing to seek requirement, what is expected of him beyond himself, in respect for his creator, my brothers and sisters. That men come into one accord, or being raised in conscience, to be brought of one accord in the Most High, rather than stagnated in themselves. That with a mutual respect for him who has one, men might awaken to discern what truly, again, my brothers and sisters, must become common human conscience in the order to honor him who is eternally one. My brothers and sisters, but that word, Nakam, says, comfort ye, O my people. Shall the people be one according to a multitude of their own opinions? Each man remaining in some way inconsiderate, denying so much what the Most High said, must be the mutual remembrance and reverence of us all. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. You know, it's amazing to me that where it says, comfort ye, my people. And how many times have I sitting on this show? Purity and completion alone is what is necessary that we all realize the one with reverence what is the one and only choice toward peace, toward salvation, toward the converting of the minds and hearts into the will of one. Psalms 19:7-14 tells us that the law that converts the souls of men is perfect. Shall every nation be converted after the partialities that are common to its own irrationalities, misorientations, misinterpretations, and misadministrations? I say, think again. In that word, neshama, for breath, they call it breath of life. It's a breath, my brothers and sisters, it's a principle. Precepts of the Most High that are eternal, that man might have constancy in harmony with his creator, who is life. Scripture tells us what was from the beginning with the Most High, who does not change. And that which is true to that initial ideal and variant, that is a pattern of life. That, in fact, my brothers and sisters, is what is eternal. There's no other salvation, my brothers and sisters. There's no other peace. Salvation means a healing unto the will of one. Salving, healing. Nothing else is worthy, my brothers and sisters, of being preserved or saved. Since the Most High is one, till we realize that we must seek the Most High to become one beyond all our differences, remembering all that has been forgotten. Since the Most High is one, till we too are one, we are not saved. 1 Corinthians 1:10-11. Because in the name of the Most High, we must all come to one understanding, speaking the same thing, no divisions amongst us. And if that is not so, we're still quite yet carnal beings, having forgotten, my brothers and sisters, what is faith faithful unto the will of one? It's time we wake up. You know, I find it amazing. And men have said that they praise the Most High, that they petition the Most High, but yet they are unwilling to hear him. Unwilling to hear him beyond what is the common worldly status quo. Messiah himself said, I make no request for the worldly, but for those who will hear his words. But people who won't hear his words to come to the oneness of conscience with the Father that is required of mankind, how can such a people, my brothers and sisters, be saved? How shall they be one? How can they say that they are still yet his disciples? How can they say that they're still worthy to be called by the Father's name? We need to wake up, my brothers and sisters. The society we live in has indeed, according to like what's written in Isaiah 29, been completely turned upside down with no reverence for the Most High, no reverence nor respect for a reference point, as if the Most High doesn't even have one. Such a shame. Such a shame that men have believed this. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, when it says, comfort ye, O my people. And it talks about how finally one day all shall see eye to eye. What is the glory? What is honor? What is the word for glory is also what honors the Most High. The Most High has promised it. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, the hope of that promise is to those who want to see that oneness in the earth, who know that reasoning together requires that we seek the Most High for the mutual good of one another, according to what is another word in that word, neshama, the Shema. Yah is one, therefore we owe it to one another in his name, Shem, word for name, in honor of his name. We owe it to the Most High that we all seek him with all our minds, hearts, souls, and might, that no man deceives his brother in thought, word, or deed. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, in that word, neshama, relating a constant principle, it's called the breath of life, it's the breath of constancy. It's the precepts and principles of spirit, the testimony, the conscience that is eternal, the breath of life. Oh, heaven help us to understand. What is it that enlivens the mind, heart, and soul of a man beyond mere physical flesh? And that word is also the word Amma. And the very concept relates to be master must be servant. But my brothers and sisters, if that statement carries in other connotations that many don't see, it is written that there's only one gospel. Read the book of Galatians 1:1-8. There's only one pattern toward peace with the Creator, and it's a consummate word that is in agreement with the Most High in all that he is and all that he declares and all he has promised and all that he will declare. If any man preach another gospel or another pattern, something perverse, something polluted, something less than that fullness, and say it's the word of peace, say let that man be accursed. The Most High does not send prophets with partial standards founded upon misorientations to divide the people. Remember, he said, go forth with his authority to teach all things for the conversion of all the nations. This will bring the end of this unscrupulous age. Yes, every lie must perish. Then life and peace begin. For upon no lie, no faulty foundation, can a man fully grow unto all that is divinely expected of the human vessel. Or shall men say that they shall survive, preserving corruptions, my brothers and sisters, that only create contentions and antipathy amongst men? And I'm familiar with my brothers and sisters refusing to remember what was declared from the beginning. Men are inclined to resist. And there are those who will say, because we have forgotten these truths, that somehow men are not obligated to remember. I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 46, that relates that we ought to remember these things, that we are counted worthy to be confirmed, true unto purpose. He says, remember these things and show yourselves men. My brothers and sisters, that is a command. If man is ever to fulfill the purpose for which he was made, the spirit of neshama, the breath of life, then must be a spirit of remembrance. The book of Yohanan, John 14, is the Holy Spirit. Look at the 14th chapter of Yohanan. Messiah said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How about the way? How about the requirement? How about the standard? How about the path that men must walk constantly upon to walk in harmony with his creator? How about the path, my brothers and sisters, unto the fruition of conscience necessary to be true to him who is true, unto perpetuity, unto life? He did not say that there was another way, my brothers and sisters. He did not say there was another gospel. He did not say there was another peace with him who holds man accountable true to all that he has declared. Hear my brothers and sisters. Call the breath of life. How about the word of life? How about the spirit of life? A testimony, a conscience that man was given from the beginning. But only if he had hearkened to the Most High, none of the differences we see in this world would exist. You know, I find it amazing. Truly, I do. Amazing that most have not even considered what's written in, for instance, in Isaiah 59, when it says, man, the way of peace he has not known. He has not known what's required of the peace. He has not known what's required unto resurrection, if you will, of justice in the earth. Abraham was told if he sought the perfect will of Yah, then his children, those who would function after the premise the Most High gave to him, he said there'd be a blessing, a healing of mankind. Reverent, respectful, and preserved in a conscience that the Most High must protect and preserve because it is his own. Genesis 17, 1 through 9. Sure, the man must overcome the desires of his flesh to be justified by something less than what is constant, what is supposed to be the mutual conscience by the Spirit the Most High gives unto those who prove themselves trustworthy unto him as a people worthy to be called by his name. It's imperative, my brothers and sisters, that we understand. Most I never said he would offer his spirit to those who are double-minded or whose allegiances are still unto the perpetuity of miscreant standards and ideals of man. You can't have a holy kingdom true to the will of one, true to the one Most High, if men's concept of what is just is the perpetuity of injustice. You know, I find it amazing that men believe they've praised the Most High. Disobedient against his law. His law is his conscience. Well, you know, like I say, amazingly, it's crazy, but the society we live in has not understood the concept of a savior. It's still that of the ancient Greeks, the polytheists who believed that since, well, think about it. They believed, number one, that the creator was not one. They believed, therefore, each man praising his own God was entitled to his opinion. They considered a savior one who would preserve all the varied ideals of all the varying gods so as to offend none of them. The word for savior they used was the Greek word soter. It's a polytheist concept. Now, amazingly enough, people talk about what they call a savior, and they believe a savior is someone who, no matter what they do, because they call upon his name, they are justified. Though in fact, what they do is dishonor his name by even such a premise, even having such a premise in their minds. Do people really believe that they have favor from the Most High because they don't listen? Because they all seek to adjust to be justified by their own standards? Is that faith beyond the world? Is that faithfulness unto the will of one? And seeking to establish a standard, is that godliness or is that devilish? You know, it's strange. We live in a very strange society. Amazingly enough, men read the scriptures today, and they say that the Most High is one, but they want to believe him divided by the multitude of their own corrupt ways. They want to believe him inconsistent because they are, as if he has no divine sense of eternal order unto which men are required to become obedient. First Corinthians says, in the name of the Most High, unto his honor, we must all speak the same thing. No divisions amongst us. One understanding, meaning that all these differences among us are not his law. All these varying allegiance amongst us are not his law. They are, in fact, my brothers and sisters, lawlessness, illegal. They are sin. After a multitude of contentions, my brothers and sisters, and contradictions, variant words and doctrines, my brothers and sisters, what men have is not true unto him who is life. But the wages of it, my brothers and sisters, though it may seem wise unto men, is not wisdom at all. For many other ways it seem right unto men, but the end thereof is death. Wages of sin, division, inconsistencies. By very definition, cannot be life. Life is the attainment of a conscience beyond all worldly contradictions. But like I said, I think about Isaiah 47. It says, men say concerning Babylon, or Babylon has said, that the Most High is one, but it said they're weird in the multitude of their corrupt ways. What does it mean? People say that today is the Most High is one. But I even heard the other day Whoopi Goldberg saying that to say that men are entitled to their variant opinions, Christian. Wow. All because of not understanding the definitions of so many words, many say so many things so far out of line. I want you to consider something. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4-6, it says, our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through Yah. The casting down of strongholds and false imaginations. How about misopinions? And bringing every thought to the obedience. If they told it right, the curd E. I'm not going to use that word Christ in the context of that sentence. The ancient concept of a Christ is one who preserved all the varying opinions of men. Because everybody had a right to observe and uphold, they said, among polytheists. It's what seemed right to them is what seems perfect to a man. It's a God to him. And many have chosen not to seek beyond what they call perfection. They personally have called perfection, lest they be recognized as foolish, deceitful. Understand, my brothers and sisters, the Most High does not send a prophet to deceive and divide his people. But he gives a prophet, my brothers and sisters, the foundation necessary to see what is consistent unto all truth. For anybody's word, my brothers and sisters, that would distract men or dissuade men, not to be prepared to discern the greater dimensions of truth, that is deception, causing men not to perceive what needs to be yet received. We are warned Let no man consider himself so wise before the time till the Most High sends Messiah to cause men to consider all things they had not considered. How about not remembered? And then every man shall know how to praise. How about honor the Most High? All that's consistent, my brothers and sisters, with the words from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians all the way out to the third and fourth. And my brothers and sisters, so often, men reading the scriptures have not understood thesis ideas. What was the impetus? What moved the prophets and the Spirit to declare to the people what they did? And not understanding that, my brothers and sisters, many have walked upon faulty foundations and found themselves, when they first woke up, in the middle of the creek, never learning how to swim. Not understanding, my brothers and sisters, in the middle of the ocean, which direction toward the nearest land. They called it, my brothers and sisters, many times in the Bible they use such a word as a desert or a wilderness. Being lost, not being able to recognize what are the cues, and not being able to find their way. Lost, my brothers and sisters. For until we all recognize the path unto oneness, dare we say, my brothers and sisters, that we have known the way? Brothers and sisters, I would dare to tell you that all break the law until it is all fully again remembered. What do you think it means that Psalms 118 says, this will be the day the Most High has wrought? That's what it really means. Bind now our festival processions like an unbroken chain. In other words, bring us to the remembrance of what must be remembered, never to be again forgotten. Isaiah 59:19-21 says, this is his covenant with his people unto salvation, unto peace. His words, his covenant, should not depart from your mouths, nor depart from your mouths, your children, nor your children's children, henceforth, even forever. This is the spirit of remembrance we all must have. My brothers and sisters, scriptures talk about the people who believe, ultimately by faith, must, my brothers and sisters, be upon the same foundation of all the prophets and apostles, Messiah himself being the cornerstone of the building. In so many ways, my brothers and sisters, we started talking about this so long ago. And I've spoken more about it in recent shows. Messiah, in so many ways, according to Scripture, is called the rememberer. The Hebrew word zakar, or remember, is also the Hebrew word that relates to be male, or to be a progenitor, if you will, true to an ideal, a spirit. That they pass on this ideal from generation to generation. My brothers and sisters, through the male line, a family name, a surname is perpetuated. My brothers and sisters, the Most High grants his name then, therefore, only to those who preserve the essence of his spirit, his ideals, his truth. My brothers and sisters, only his word is true. All else, my brothers and sisters, is a loveless forgetfulness. Like I remember one time, Most High asked me a question. And he knew that according to what he had already told me, I should have been able to answer. And the only thing I could say for the moment was I forgot. His immediate response to me was simple. He said, that's illegal. How many of us understand that, my brothers and sisters? Man was created to remember, to be a memorial of the righteousness and the conscience of the Most High, even if an entire world in this carnality, or let's just say the disruptions after the influence of men, I compel men to forget. What have men done? They set up all manner of government. Ideologies, my brothers and sisters, which can never be true to the purpose of what a church is supposed to be. In fact, my brothers and sisters, the very word church comes from an ancient word. It relates an institution that should only be true and only a preservation of the light that would cast out the darkness, that would cast out all misconceits. So I said, upon this rock I will build my church. And I told you before, my brothers and sisters, he would never not have called himself a Christ. That's a pagan, Greco-Roman, polytheist ideology that can never bring forth holiness. But they took away from you the word or the concept of what is a kurdi. Kur meaning sun, tis meaning rise. That will come suddenly like the rising sun to cast out all the darkness. The very word church comes from that ancient meaning. How then, my brothers and sisters, should the church be a preservation of darkness? What fellowship does light have with darkness? Or Messiah with the devil? Go back and look at 2 Corinthians 6th chapter and understand then what is truly a Savior has no covenant with the misconceits of men. But they took away from the idea about the one called the Kurdi. Because he demands of mankind a remembrance of all the pure, perfect will of Yah, that all that is divine purpose would be established and preserved forever in the earth. But that means, my brothers and sisters, the only way that you can restore that perfect justice is you must cast aside all those who would preserve injustice. The only way you can establish a holy kingdom to rule upon this earth is to subjugate all the nations that would uphold every manner of misopinion. My brothers and sisters, in ancient Rome, actually did was when they had these so-called Roman circuses. The people were commanded, or representatives of various households, were commanded to come forth to attend the Roman circuses. And whoever did not cheer the decimation, destruction, persecution, murder of so many who believed, if they would not kiss the statue of the pagan goddess Diana, if they would not eat a piece of pork, if they would not curse the title of the one called the Kurdi. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, they could curse the idea about an absolute sense of justice. If they would not curse the idea of an absolute sense of justice from on high, beyond worldly contradictions, then men were likely to be thrown in with the rest of the believers, would be maimed, torn, murdered, or whatever means they thought was sport under the preservation of Roman ideal. So they cursed the name, or wanted to see the title of the Kurdi decimated from a pure and perfect form to preserve a multitude of divisions. Therefore, after a multitude of divisions, to forget what the Most High himself forever intended. And we live today in what they call a Greco-Roman Judeo-Christian society. How many understand the total opposition in that very concept? Greco-Romanism is innately polytheist unto the preservation of every manner of false imagination. The scriptures say it must be subjugated. They say that the Most High is one. But they say in the Most High everyone is somehow entitled to their opinion, though to believe so is to say that the Most High is not one and that somehow the Most High is schizophrenic according to the forgetfulness and irreverences of man. So seeking to preserve every man's right to his own opinions, and they call that an inalienable right. As if every man has a right to deceive his brother rather than seek the truth that would help save. Think about it. In seeking to preserve so much mass misopinion, all the while saying the Most High is one, and saying there's one Savior, they've called the concept of salvation the preservation of a multitude of corruption that the Most High never spoke. Indeed, men have called the way of peace the preservation of all corruptions without discretion. The preservation of all corruptions. Since they honor the Most High as if the Most High is the one who lacks understanding. I even had one pastor tell me that the Most High changed his law because it was found unjust because men couldn't keep it. That's such a shame, my brothers and sisters. What they're saying is that, you know, although Abraham was told to walk after the perfect will of Yah, and Messiah said, be perfect, even as the Heavenly Father is perfect, that was an unjust ideal. How else do men actually believe the Most High can favor every man of doctrine that causes men to disagree with him? But such insanity has been told, my brothers and sisters, pastors. I had a pastor tell me, like I said before, that I changed his law and gave them Jesus. Wow. Because man couldn't obey that law. Sounds like Roman polytheists who have to uphold a multitude of juxtaposed ideas that blind the mind against discerning an absolute. Well, the Romans went as far as to say that the apostles were teaching laws and customs that were unlawful to them, not lawful for them, they said, because they were Romans. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? In other words, they said that walking after what is consistent was unlawful to them because they had to uphold a multitude of inconsistencies. Men today have not been oftentimes awakened to understand what they say when everybody has an inalienable right to what they personally call life, peace, and the pursuit of happiness. My brothers and sisters, shall a people devout unto the Most High refuse divine definition of that one consummate ideal? Shall man not be pleased with the divine absolute? Most High will be pleased with their rebellion. It says, carnal mind is enmity against the law of Yah. That means, my brothers and sisters, every man seeks to be justified by himself, feels himself justified by his own ideals, and dares to say that because such inconscience seems wise and perfect to them, that their God has to agree with them. My brothers and sisters, at that point in time, where man has no reference point for reverence, there has been a total forsaking of a covenant, a total forsaking of what is a constancy. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, Isaac, an absolute, a constant absolute. Men have loved to praise even what is the heart of a devil. If man is not subject to a constant law from the Most High, whose law is he under? If man is unwilling, my brothers and sisters, to humble himself to discern the will of one, what does Scripture say? If my people call on my name, will humble themselves and will pray, humble themselves and seek the Most High, seek his face. Absolute definition according to who he is. So then we hear from the Most, we hear from heaven and heal their prayer and heal their land. Well, my brothers and sisters, men have sought to preserve all manner of difference of opinion and cause allegiance to the will of one. Such insanity as this, my brothers and sisters, is a faulty foundation upon which no man can grow to become true to the Most High. For where any corruption is, there is no hope of perfect sanctification. The salvation of this one is not possible. Messiah said himself, not possible after the diverse ideals of men. But this oneness is only possible, my brothers and sisters, in harmony with him who was one forever. So much more to say concerning these things. I just looked up and said we have about 30-something seconds left. Tonight's show, but there's so much foundation, my brothers and sisters, that needs to be restored to mind before we can move on and talk about so many, much, much, many more deeper things that still need to be discussed and still yet brought to mind. I said on last evening that I wanted to express concern in these things. They had a little storm today that I wanted to wait out. But my brothers and sisters, I can only say I'm thankful to the Most High for every year that he brings near. And I would strongly suggest that you check out those articles you find on my website that are mentioned in the chat. And again, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every year that he brings near. But there's so much that must be remembered that without which, my brothers and sisters, no soul can become firm, faithful. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Eddie and Yav Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Unto his might, unto his honor, and his praise always. Yes, even unto all the praise that he is due. Hallelujah! And again, I thank you all for listening. Just realized now I wanted to talk so much more about Isaiah 40:27-41:4. Shall man say that he is due a reward, a pleasing reward, though man has been the one who has forgotten, forsaken the Most High, and praised their various kings, who Most High has already said their justice must be destroyed from the mind for justice to be? My brothers and sisters, he said, for his own sake, he has promised he would restore mankind to a sense of justice. But my brothers and sisters, the most, that sense of justice is not a matter of man missing the mark. You put down justice due. It means the Most High, my brothers and sisters, some texts say justice due. It means the Most High has not forget what he's required of mankind in order to bring forth peace. Perhaps tomorrow, yeah, willing, I'll get a chance to elaborate more further upon that. Though men have indeed walked according to the vanity of this world, it's only those who gather their strength beyond it all by the power of Yah, knowing that there's an absolute that all are required to remember and preserve. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, only those who be confirmed worthy of the holy name. And the Messiah certainly comes for the word to discern who is worthy of the Father's name. Even my brothers and sisters, who is worthy to be called his disciples. The disciples, not of a polytheist Christ, having horns like a lamb and speaking the diverse split-tongued words of a dragon, but discerning, my brothers and sisters, a righteous one who comes suddenly like the rising sun out of all the darkness, out of confusion, contentions against the will of one. Let the word of the one, my brothers and sisters, arise again in your heart. For blessed only will be counted those who have something within them. A word such as these register in their hearts that they might remember the essence and implications of truth. That they might be called indeed, the sons and daughters. Yeah. Even now, the Most High has told me he is working to bring forth that ancient vision, that divisions be no more.